This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
WPHT, HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, this is the drive at 5. 30 minutes of non-stop talk with Rich Zeoli.
Come on in, join us. Come on in, everybody. Welcome, welcome.
You look so very pretty.
Welcome to Cape May. Yes. Like welcome to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Come on in.
I sang this little ditty on our way through Ocean City, heading south along the Jersey Shore.
On the way to Cape May. There we go.
I fell in love with you.
All right, welcome back. We are live. It is the Drive at 5. We are streaming it live on YouTube, live from the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. You can follow me, of course, on Twitter, at Rich Zeoli. Dr. Wilfred Riley is a professor of political science at Kentucky State University and author of Taboo, 10 Facts You Can't Talk About. And he's on Fox News all the time. I saw with Jesse Waters the other night. Good job, by the way, Professor.
Yeah, thanks. It was a fun show to do. It was actually pretty last minute. I got called at 2 o'clock, I think, on Thursday, and the question was, you know, could you do the show at 7? So I ended up going to Friends TV studio in Louisville. But yeah, it was an enjoyable hit experience.
You know, this morning I was driving here to Cape May. We're doing the show from Cape May. And I got an email from the senior booker for Dana Perino's show asking if I could come on in 10 minutes, but I was in the car. So, you know, and wearing a T-shirt and, you know, also high as a kite. So there was no way I could do it. You know what I mean? It was like, no way to sober up by then, Doc. Am I right? You know, come on, Professor. Now, listen, we got a lot to talk about. Target, they'd like to be high right now, but they're kind of low because they've lost $9 billion in market value, I saw. Maybe it's because of the tucking, I guess, one of the issues. I mean, what's going on with all these corporations and why they feel the need to keep going down this road of wokeism?
Well, I think there are a couple different levels here. I mean, as someone who plays around in the market, I will say that when people say, you know, this company lost $9 billion yesterday, what they're talking about is the dip in the stock price from, you know, the previous high. So the boycott is having some effect, but Target hasn't closed 900 stores or something like that. Like, they'll remake $800 billion or whatever the figure is as soon as the stock rises again. But in terms of what they did, I mean, the whole thing with Target was that they had their whole rainbow collection for Pride Month, which apparently now extends through most of May also, out in the front of a bunch of stores, and people started looking through it, and kind of a center right female blogger looked at some of the swimsuits and found that a lot of the ones in kid sizes had pouches for quote-unquote tucking, which is, for those that don't know, where if you are a male who identifies as a woman, you sort of hide your penis away so people won't see it.
Right.
And a video of this went viral. People like Matt Walsh kind of jumped on it and said, well, this is pretty wild. So there's been a backlash against Target, and now there's a really awkward conversation starting, actually, because female athletes are saying, well, you know, as women, we use that for, you know, some other stuff. So the question is, what is being tucked? What does tucking mean? Awkward to discuss on television. But, I mean, the fact that the suits are all in bright rainbow colors and so on kind of gives a hint to me. Why do companies keep doing this? I think because until recently, it's been an effortless way to, quote-unquote, virtue signal without really being attacked. So if kind of, you know, the upper middle class college kids in your marketing department say, well, it'd be nice to look cool and to participate in Pride Month, Black History Month, Indigenous Peoples Day, I'm so sorry day, so on down the line.
Right.
You know, there's no reason not to. There, conservative bros haven't exactly been saying prior to Bud Light, no one's saying like, I'm not going to drink this beer or eat this chicken sandwich because this company is too liberal. It's been exclusively the left saying that. And now, I mean, all banter aside, you are seeing that, where you're literally seeing people pouring beer down sinks and so on. So, you know, this actually may be, it's a silly thing to say this about, but this may be one of those big landscape shifts in politics where right-wing men have actually started boycotting things. Like, no, you're not buying that crap for my kid. Like, no, I guess I'll drink a Coors. You know, so that is something interesting.
I think women too. I mean, a lot of the women that I know, they're furious at Target. I was with some friends the other night, and this mom came over to me and she said, "I will never shop there again. I can't believe it. I went there with my kids and I was embarrassed." So I do think there is a pushback. You're right. Here's my question though, and this is an ethical question, a moral dilemma, if you will. Hmm. If I didn't buy a Bud Light but somebody gave me a Bud Light, can I drink it?
I don't know. Well, I mean, I'll be completely honest. I'm a lazy and amoral person. I almost never boycott things. I remember having this conversation with my ex-girlfriend where she was arguing persuasively that Nikes were mostly made by slaves. And the calculation in my mind was just that I enjoy wearing, you know, Jordans I have since I was a kid, and that benefit outweighs the limited amount of guilt I feel. So I'm just going to kind of nod and lie in this conversation and keep dressing as I want to. So in the Bud Light case, I think people aren't buying Bud Light more because it seems corny now than anything else. I don't think that there's necessarily a ton of guilt now that Bud Light's apologized for the Mulvaney thing. I think Bud Light's managed to kind of negatively brand itself so that, like, if you were in line at a Chicago Cubs game and you bought a Bud Light, people might make fun of you. And
right.
it's really hard to shake that, actually, that kind of negative branding. Like, I remember that a Chevy used to have a car called Nova, and it never sold in Latin America because Nova means it won't go, so it became just a running joke. And this is almost at that level. Anyway, the point is, if someone gives you a Bud Light, yeah, I would just drink it. There's not,
well,
you know, you
they,
didn't
they
pay
also,
for it.
They put a Yingling label on it, so my Bud Light identifies as a Yingling.
That's actually probably how I would have tried to handle it. I would just say the beer identified as a Heineken.
I wanted to ask you, you know, this is kind of the anniversary of a lot of different things, but we all remember the summer of 2020, George Floyd. You tweeted out something the other day. You actually tweeted out the autopsy mm-hmm. report of George Floyd. And, you know, as we're learning more and more about how the government has been describing domestic terrorism as the biggest threat to America and everything like that. One of the things they reference a lot is all the protesters are in the summer of George Floyd, but they don't really ever target them. You know, they're kind of given a pass for all that, whatever happened that summer. And you said, you know, when you were on the show a couple weeks ago, that people really don't understand exactly what happened that day. I think you said that the thing about the George Floyd case is that people don't really know what happened to George Floyd.
Mm-hmm.
And it is not something that's politically correct to talk about. I'm sure probably putting out the autopsy is not the most politically correct thing to do either.
Yeah, well, so first, I would recommend the book They're Lying, The Media and the George Floyd Case, I believe is the subtitle, by Liz Collin, who's a friend of mine and who also was the lead host on Minneapolis television just prior to the George Floyd case. Before getting, I think they're Fox affiliate, before getting fired because of her marriage to the head of the police union at that time. And she actually dug really deeply into the case and obtained all the documents related to the case. But anyway, because of that, because those documents are now available in kind of the media space or the social science space, I and another guy, the Rabbit Hole, just posted the George Floyd autopsy in full to social media and said, you know, people, look at this. And the reason that kind of went viral, the reason people did look at it, is that the George Floyd autopsy really openly says that George Floyd wasn't killed by, you know, strangulation or harm to the neck. It actually says we found no life-threatening injuries. We found no neck injuries. And then on the next page, it scrolls through all these drugs. Like, there were 11 milligrams of fentanyl in, you know, Mr. Floyd's blood. The fatal dose is like 4, I believe. There were, you know, X number of grams of methamphetamine or milligrams of methamphetamine, grams quite a lot, but in Mr. Floyd's blood, so on down the line. And it's hard to read through this and not come to the conclusion that what most people thought, which is just kind of that one big guy knelt on another big guy and kind of choked him to death, that's not really true at all. You can argue that there was bad police work here in that, you know, obviously if you're a law enforcement officer and you're restraining a suspect and they start to have a heart attack or something, I mean, you might get out of that neck hold position, no matter how properly you're holding it. But the idea that sort of this Klansman type police officer strangled Floyd to death, we now know that's just not real. And that becomes really problematic because there's a guy in jail that was convicted of murder one, murder two, and manslaughter. I mean, literally had, you know, the Minneapolis phone book thrown at him. He's going to be in there, I believe, 25 years. So is anything going to happen as a result of this? That I guess, is the question.
Yeah. Did his attorneys not have access to that autopsy report? I mean, I'm trying to understand how.
Well, they did. I think if we're being completely honest about this, I mean, looking at this a couple of years down the road, and sure, it's still an awkward topic, but I mean, there was no way the jury was going to find Derek Chauvin innocent.
Right.
I mean, Minneapolis was ground zero for the first wave of Black Lives Matter riots. You know, the police held their ground the first couple of days. Hundreds of rioters were injured. Then the rioters took a police station. They burned the old Third Precinct to the ground. I believe something like 4 or 5 people were killed. So if you are in that jury room and you're, say, a black businessman from Minnesota, I mean, whatever your private thoughts about George Floyd, I mean, you don't want to necessarily sit on the roof of your store with a shotgun again. So I think that the night of the trial, and remember Maxine Waters, Kamala Harris, these people flew to Minneapolis. They were talking to the mobs. I mean, Maxine Waters said she wouldn't accept a manslaughter verdict. So I think that his lawyer, you know, didn't do an especially good job, but the lawyer actually made this point during the trial that Chauvin's knee wasn't actually on Floyd's neck. It was on his back. And that was just sort of passed on. I mean, the judge said something like interesting line of questioning and now to opposing counsel when someone else cross-examined the witness.
It's just that, I mean, no matter what, you're supposed to believe that everybody in this country gets a fair trial and that everybody gets the presumption of innocence, even if that person is a law enforcement officer. I mean, everybody's entitled to that under the Constitution. And yet it seems like, based on everything that we know now, that did not happen. And that's an injustice of its own, entirely an injustice of its own. Because, you know, the idea that our legal system railroads somebody because of what we saw on television and how the crowd reacted to that, the angry mob. I mean, that's why we have our justice system, right? So it doesn't respond to the angry mob.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's absolutely right. I think that's a good summary. So during the past couple of years, when we've seen kind of left and right fighting in the streets, literally, if you look at the Kenosha riots, you know, left doing most of it, but that's never a good sign for a society. That's where Kyle Rittenhouse became a household name. You know, we've seen a bunch of these show trials around all that where people say to, in the context of either both sides or specifically the right, like, we're going to make an example out of these people. So, I mean, we've seen a lot of these January 6th trials. And again, no sympathy for the riotous portion of January 6th. But people are getting things like 18 years. People are being charged with sedition against the country. I mean, that's what they were going to charge Bobby Lee with. You know, are those totally objectively normal charges for the crime of riot? No, I'll just say bluntly. You saw the Kyle Rittenhouse trial where both sides were outside the courthouse with signs and weapons. I mean, you could go back a little bit, the trial of Officer Darren Wilson or the hearing for Officer Darren Wilson. In a lot of these cases, I don't think that most of the people that have a really passionate position are all that interested in justice. I think you're almost going back to the era of kind of the show trial and the hanging judge with a lot of this stuff. And no, of course that's not good.
Dr. Wilfred Riley is my guest right now. He is got an upcoming book coming out this summer. We'll talk about that in just a moment, too. But he's also the author of Hate Crime Hoax, which is one of my favorite books. You know, speaking of hate crime hoax, as we now get into this issue with Target, and I'll kind of come back to that for a moment. Target initially put out a statement saying that their employees were threatened, and for the physical safety of their employees, they were taking down a lot of these pride displays. Now, I call BS on that, because I don't think that people are actually going into Target and threatening to kill Target employees because of their pride displays. I think it was a way for Target to turn around and try to save some face by taking down the pride displays in certain parts of the country where they know that it was just not going to be palatable. And I actually referenced your book, and I said, you know, I would be amazed if anybody could get me a police report of any actual incident of somebody walking in and physically threatening a Target employee. And, of course, you didn't hear of one. There wasn't one. And if it had happened, there probably would have been news. And we see this a lot, right? I mean, this notion of, well, this group's going to be unsafe, so we have to cancel this, and we have to cancel speakers because the group's going to be unsafe. I mean, it becomes the heckler's veto in a lot of these different areas. And it seems to me more times than not, it's just all made up.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, obviously, neither of us has the reports or has the data. But yeah, that I'll just say bluntly, like listening to that as someone who's been in corporate roles, been in strategy roles, that was my take as well. This is almost, as you just said, this is almost kind of a default sort of you better shut up claim. Like, even if you're arguing with someone on Twitter, I've noticed that if, for example, you're talking about a feminist account or opponent, you'll very often get some kind of message, or they'll just say online, like, I'm getting death and rape threats, you better shut up now. And what I've started saying is, can you show me one so we can, like, we both report this to the police? Like, that's really not cool. I don't like the idea of my boys or the people that follow me are doing that. And just, like, every time, nothing, like a block half the time. And, of course, what that implies is, yeah, it's just fiction. The book Hate Crime Hoax, which you mentioned, is a look at what actually happened in almost 400 of these very high-profile hate incident cases. Jussie Smollett, Covington Catholic. The period the book focuses on is more Yasmin Saweed. I mean, the University of Missouri with the swastikas and so on. And to give the secret away, what happened is that they all turned out to be fakes. So, yeah, I would bet that either one or zero people nationally have walked into Target and said, I'm going to kill the store manager or something. There is a video of one guy that's like throwing shirts on the floor. But yeah, if you're the CFO, I mean, it gives you an easy way to get out of all this. Like, yeah, we took all the gay stuff down for you guys on the right, but for you guys on the left, because they were going to kill us all. You know, right. put the form out, and then you take the rack with the rainbow drawers on it, and you move it to the back of the store, and everyone's happy.
Not everyone, of course, because some people don't like to walk to the back of the store. They're very lazy. You know, that's a whole other issue, though, of course. Now,
came up with Bud Light. Not to all jump in there, right? But they trouble because they didn't stand up. So the reason that Bud Light did the Dylan Mulvaney campaign, where he was one of their top 20 or 30 influencers, the quote-unquote on-the-cans influencers, the reason they did this was to boost their ESG score, like to be seen as a more gay-friendly company instead of, like, you know, the brand that makes what frat guys drink out of Solo cups. And they got a very slight boost from him. But then when the backlash came and they dropped the campaign, the Human Rights Campaign and all these groups then dropped their score by more points than they'd gained. So, like, they're getting punished for not standing up for Mulvaney. And it really is, like, the I don't want to walk to the back of the store stuff. Like, people are saying things like, you should see so many gay people on beer cans. So it is hard to win as a corporation. My short answer would just be the old coach's line, like, don't play the game. You know, like, keep running ads with people driving fast cars and hanging out on the beach. Like, as a beer company, you don't really need to engage either gay rights or the Proud Boys. Like, your whole brand should just be people getting drunk. I mean, like, I'm not making a joke. Like, there's no reason to be political at all, Bud Light. Just show a frat party. Show four dads on motorcycles drinking tall boys.
Well, can we get back to hot chicks and bikinis or no?
Absolutely. That actually was the best example of kind of... Have you ever heard the term clapter?
No.
Clapter is what you do if you're, say, on a date and you're listening to, like, a socially conscious comedian like Hannah Gadsby. Like, if you're in one of these audiences, like, nobody actually laughs. like there'll be jokes about illegal immigration and how we need to open the borders or something, just things that aren't inherently funny that you probably disagree with. And everyone just like claps enthusiastically without laughing and then goes back to, you know, what they were doing. And there, you're now kind of seeing this with advertising too, like stuff that's not really designed to sell the product, but designed to sort of show that you're one of the good corporations or something. So, I mean, like, I think it was Miller, right after Bud Light ran their series of ads that actually announced that they're buying back all their old beer calendars with scantily clad women on them, because that's not how you should market beer. People don't want to look at women and party when they think about beer. So their new campaign features, like, fully clothed female brewers talking about how they make beer. And that dropped during Women's History Month, and it's still out there. So, you know, I mean, there actually are companies doing the exact opposite. But I think that whoever, Corona or whatever, one of the Mexican brands, whoever just sticks with the people on the beach partying is going to sell a lot of beer.
By the way, I don't know what fraternity you were part of, but Bud Light was never anything we could afford in college. It was Milwaukee Beast all the way.
Keystone,
right? Bush Light, maybe if you had some money extra in the budget. But Bud Light would have been considered
local
premium.
Beers. In Southern Illinois, it was like Honey Brown, like stuff that was made in that area. Very, right. Very, very questionable, but a fun part of life.
Natty Light, you know, which I think all those brands now are pretty much owned by Anheuser-Busch. And what the amazing part is, all their brands have been falling ever since this whole issue with Bud Light. I admire how Yingling, which is a local brewer in Pennsylvania, not far from where we broadcast from, Yingling came out and they said on social media, "We're a small business. We're a family business. We love America. Drink our beer." And people just turned around and said, "Sounds good to me." I think to your point about how they shouldn't engage with the Proud Boys or the Pride community, it really does go to the heart of something what I believe, which is people just kind of want to be left alone, right? We don't want to go to a baseball game and see a bunch of Catholic-hating LGBTQ++IA nuns. We don't want to drink a beer where we have to see a man dressed as a woman and have that in our face. There is a part of us, we just want to be left alone to enjoy certain things and not have to have politics shoved in our face every 2 seconds. I mean, is that so much to ask?
No. I mean, no, I do think that there are real questions there. Like, in terms of a lot of people, a lot of men in particular, are pretty homophobic. And so I don't actually have a problem with people for quote unquote Pride Month wearing just old school rainbow shirts to signal they're cool with gay people. Or, I mean, like you see stuff in the nightlife scene, a shirt that says something like totes bi on it as a statement about sexual identity. I don't actually care about that. I don't really care about someone wearing either of those shirts to a baseball game. So, I mean, I do think there's an area of debate. Like, can you do a Pride night, not for kids, once a year as the Colorado Rockies or whatever? Like, yeah, sure, I guess so. The issue comes when any political perspective becomes impossible to avoid. So, like, a quick analogy would be, like, Anheuser-Busch doing a lot of Christian marketing for any one of its products. Like, everyone that goes to the ball game gets a Bible. As opposed to a copy of Harvey Milk's autobiography, which is a real thing that happened once in San Francisco. And I think that almost everyone would be unified in saying, like, you know, I love Jesus and his mother Mary as much as the next lapsed Catholic, but, you know, this isn't really appropriate for, you know, a baseball weekend. So, no, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying you don't want, like, the thing that did this for me, I actually stopped watching for a couple of months, was the NBA jerseys where players could pick their political slogan.
Right.
So you would see, like, resist racism, drive to the basket, and get checked by, like, choose life. And they were mostly slogans on the left, so, like, equity would be, like, waiting on the wing for the ball. It was just like, screw this. Like, Black Lives Matter was written on the court. Most people view it as perfectly normal not to want that when you go to a basketball game. And, I mean, I'm one of those people as well.
Last question for you. Have you been to the terrorist state of Florida recently?
I'm actually going with some friends this summer, so hopefully we'll just, you know, have some fun. We won't be actually, like, three of the guys are black, so who knows? Anything could happen. Is anyone gay? Is anyone bisexual? I don't know. I don't know everyone who might be coming with these people. But I mean, the whole thing, the NAACP Florida terrorism warning is one of the hokiest examples of just politicized virtue signaling that I've seen. The crazy thing about that is that the NAACP official who wrote it lives in Florida.
Right.
Like, he's been asked about this, and he's given this incredible, like, pablum-filled speech. Like, I'm not encouraging anyone to leave. People like me need to stay and fight, you know, living in this beach house by the ocean. Obviously, there's no risk if you're black and you go to Florida. Florida's 17% black. It's the main destination state for the, you know, high-performing Jamaican, you know, Dominican, so on, black immigrant communities to the USA. So I don't really even have much to say about that. We see a lot of actually, one serious thing. The problem with nonsense like that is that there's a certain kind of MSNBC-watching, influential American demographic that looks at it and that believes it's true. That's the only sense in which that's relevant. Like, there actually are a lot of people out there that believe that it's illegal to say gay in Florida, and that is pretty problematic.
Well said. All right, my friend, always a pleasure, Dr. Wilfred Riley, and we will talk to you again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you then. Bye.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour on the Rich Zeoli Show. Brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. A premier full-service resort and conference center. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
You know, we did not pay attention to the clock. I know it's shocking. I have a problem with that sometimes. But, Peter, can you come on up here, please? Peter McKeon from Highlight Electric has been a great... Come on, bring your son up here, too. Come on, come on up. Come on. Come on up with your Zeoli Army shirts. All right, here. Stand right there. Grab the microphone. And so Peter has always, over the years, helped us with the Travis Manion Foundation Radiothon. He's been incredibly generous. And you talked to Greg Stocker today about something you wanted to do.
Yes.
All right. So what did you want to do?
All right. So now you got me there. I have $1,000 set aside for the movie pick for the Travis Manion Foundation. So whoever guesses the movie wins $1,000, or their name gets put for the donation to the Travis Manion Foundation.
So that's Peter McKeon and Highlight Electric, whoever wins the movie contest today, which we're now 10 minutes late for.
It's actually not as bad as I thought it was going to be.
It could be a lot worse, yeah. Right? That person, their name will be given to the Travis Manion Foundation. So this donation is going to be on their behalf, which
thousand,
is pretty amazing.
$1,000, yes.
That's pretty great. Thank you, Peter. Yes. So with that, Henry, let's do it.
Now,
afternoon.
Mystery movie clip, WPHD.
But this, I swear, before you and before Almighty God, that when we go into battle, I will be the first to set foot on the field, and I will be the last to step off, and I will leave no one behind. Dead or alive, we will all come home together. So help me God.
Think you know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
All right, Matt DeSantis, tell them what they'll win.
All right, in addition to Peter's generous donation on the caller's behalf, you'll also win a $25 Dunkin' Donuts gift card.
Look at that. All right, how about a big round of applause for Peter McKeon and his son? Appreciate it. Grandson. Thank you, guys. Appreciate it. God bless you. That's fantastic. All right, good luck, caller number 12. I know you know it, but I know, but we can't. You got to do it over the phone.
Try calling in real quick.
Yeah, call in real quick. How about just a shirt? Do we have any shirts left?
We have a table drape left, and that's it.
We're out of shirts.
There's
already?
No shirts in there. There's one table
I'm
drape,
so
and that's
sorry.
It.
I'm so sorry. Oh, now they're walking out in protest. Now, come on. Don't boycott the show.
In fairness, we are on a delay, so technically if you call now, you might get a leg up on everybody listening.
You might get a leg up. It's yeah. True. Oh, man. They don't give us enough shirts. Our company is ridiculous. My company sucks. Wait, dump that. I just said my company sucks. Make sure you dump that, Henry. I don't want anyone to hear that back at corporate.
Stop saying it. We're going to run out of dumps.
I don't know if I like the way you said that, Matt DeSantis. Welcome to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, by the way. Oh, yeah, now you got to edit that, too, on the video. I just said that. I said, my company sucks. You got to edit that, too, on the video, too. You traitor.
Oh, yeah.
All right, fine. Listen, we got a lot more to talk about today. Joe Biden, if anyone noticed, is asleep right now. It is 5:30. On his way to Rehoboth Beach, not Wilmington. I made a mistake. He goes to the beach. Not the Jersey Shore, of course. He hates us just like Phil Murphy hates us, too. Yes, Tommy. Oh, Camp David first, then Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And he's going, of course, with who? Dr. Jill Biden. Don't you dare not say doctor. The bouncers at the Grand Hotel will throw you right the hell out of here. Am I right, Bob?
Yeah.
Out. Get him out. You know, one of the best things, of course, about doing a live show like this is you do make a lot of friends. You see a lot of great people together. And nobody judges you for going to the bar, which is where half the room went the minute that they thought I was going to break. Did you notice that? The minute they thought I was going to break, they're like, whoop, and we're out. And they went right to the bar, charging for it. I love it. It's great. Well, it is wonderful to be with you together. And I always enjoy this as we kick off summer, of course. One thing on the point, though, about my conversation with Dr. Wilfred Riley, the one thing I think is when we're dealing with whenever, and he's said this a lot on the show, whenever you're dealing with kids is where I think the line gets crossed and you say, no, just leave our kids out of it. The indoctrination of our kids has to stop. You know, I've got three kids. They're here right now at the Grand Hotel somewhere. I would bring Reagan in, but she would destroy this room. Baby Reagan is like the Tasmanian devil. No, she is. But, you know, Patrick's 8, Claire is 6. By the way, Patrick last night at his final baseball game of the year, two outs, two runners on base. Patrick steps up to the plate, scored the game-winning RBI. My son. Thank God for him. He does not have my genes, and he's actually athletic, which is great. But you know, Patrick's 8, Claire is 6, and Reagan is 3. And I just don't want my kids being indoctrinated in school. The biggest fight in America right now, in my opinion, is still over our schools. And every time I talk to parents, moms and dads across this state and across their whole listening area, they're always saying the same thing, and that is that it has to stop. And when you talk about some of the most important races, it's actually really not Congress and it's not the Senate. It is the school board. It is the school board right now, because that's where this whole future of America is going to be decided, is in school. And making sure that the kids don't have access to books that talk about gender ideology when they're little kids. What has happened in this country and what we've seen in this country right now is a pushback from parents who said enough is enough. And there are moms and dads who are afraid to come out and speak publicly about this, or at least they used to be, because what did this administration do? This administration said they might be domestic terrorists. You remember that? And they intimidate people into silence. The beautiful thing about talk radio, though, is that we give a platform for you to be able to speak your mind, although I don't take any calls. But I mean, theoretically speaking, of course, for people to push back on this stuff, because it needs to be pushed back on. It has to be. They will continue to try to silence and intimidate. It's what they do. They want to silence people into submission and quiet, and to be quiet and complacent. And that is the best thing that we can do, is to push back on that. It has to be something we all say no to. All right, 855-839-1210. We have our winner here for our movie. So Denise in Sellersville. Denise, congratulations. You won the movie.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. So what is the movie today?
We Were Soldiers. Based on the book, We Were Soldiers Once and Young.
Look at that. Excellent. Well done. Congratulations. And Peter McKeon at Highlight Electric is going to make a $1,000 donation to the Travis Mannion Foundation in your name, Denise. In your name.
Oh, thank you.
Isn't that great? All right, Denise, thank you. Have a wonderful weekend. You appreciate it very, very much. All right, listen, we're taking a quick break, but I want to tell you about my friends at Omaha Steaks, because Omaha Steaks makes it so great for Father's Day for you to give your dad exactly what he's looking for, delicious steaks. Your dad, your grandfather, your uncle, whoever. Listen, Omaha Steaks is the best, and when you use my name, Zioli, you will get an extra $30 off your order at omahasteaks.com. And this is great, because you can choose from a variety of mouthwatering offering packages that include fork tender bacon wrap filet mignons or other gourmet grillables like air chilled boneless chicken breasts, burgers, jumbo franks, and many more favorites. And don't forget to save room for dessert. Most gift packages come with four delicious caramel apple tartlets. Delicious food from America's oldest butcher, not owned by China, by the way. China does not own Omaha Steaks. So have great memories around the grill this Father's Day. When you get Dad something he really wants, omahasteaks.com. Put in my name, Zioli, at checkout and get that extra $30 off your order. Because if there's one thing we know, it's that dads want steak. omahasteaks.com.
The Zioli Show on your schedule from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT in the free Odyssey app.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right, welcome back to the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. All right. It is our Friday before Memorial Day show. And we're so happy to be with you. Somebody just handed me a Yingling. Thank you for that. That was so sweet. An Air Force veteran handed me a Yingling. How about that, huh? It doesn't get more American than that. I appreciate that because I was drinking a Bud. Well, I was not drinking, but it was a Bud Light that identified as a Yingling. So it's much better to have a Yingling. Here is a man who identifies as every host on Fox News. Of course, I'm talking about Jimmy Failla, host of Fox Across America. What's up, girl?
Jimmy. Hey, girl. Hey. Bud Light. Listen, I know everyone's mad at Bud Light, but if you buy one, Dylan Mulvaney will throw in some free nuts. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Thanks for coming.
What about Sam Britton?
Oh, my goodness. You know what? It's funny. I told Laura Ingram this last night. You know, he's part of that group that is being honored by the Dodgers. Did you talk about this?
No.
Oh, well, that group of nuns that is being honored by the L.A. Dodgers, Sam Britton is a member of that group. So I was saying earlier, you know, on the plus side, at least the Dodgers finally got a guy who can steal.
Oh!
There it is.
There it is, everybody. It's so, It's pretty good, I'll tell you. It's always good to talk to you, buddy. Judge Jeanine is coming up at 6:30 today. She's got a new book out, so I'll name drop you if that's all right.
Oh, it's the right thing to do. I'm on her radio show this Sunday, which is a heck of a vote of confidence, by the way. And I, honestly, between you and me, I'm flattered you even chose to have me on the Friday before Memorial Day. Most people assume I'd have like a face tattoo right now, and I'd be passed out at a dog track. So I appreciate the vote of confidence.
Well, we are, I mean, it's the day is young. I still fully expect those things from you in a matter of time, of course. But it's not 6 o'clock yet, so come on. Let me ask you, I mean, this has been a crazy week again with DeSantis getting in the race and Trump going after DeSantis. DeSantis' announcement on Twitter Spaces, where that did not exactly go well. Are you worried about this primary? I'm a little worried about this. Is everybody going to kill each other? What's going to happen here?
Yeah, it's going to be like, do you remember the comedian Gallagher? It's going to be like a Gallagher set where people are just smashing fruit, you know, fluids flying everywhere. It's going to be like a legitimate food fight. Like, I'm kind of excited to watch it. I think they'll be okay in the end, but it's going to get really messy, like, between now and August. The first debate isn't until August. Obviously, we have it on Fox, which is a banger. I was not chosen to moderate it, by the way. Stunner. we're going to need somebody who spent more than 15 minutes at a community college to moderate this thing, which is unfortunate. I think if ever there was a year I was qualified, this is the year, because the presidency, or at least the GOP nomination, sounds like it's going to be decided by yo mama jokes by the time this is over. Because Trump is throwing everything at DeSantis. DeSantis, to his credit, is doing a good job of staying on message. But isn't it so funny how Trump is, like, annihilating DeSantis for being the governor of Florida and the job he's doing? I'm like, dude, you live there. Like, it's a dumb line of attack.
Yeah, he's like the NAACP. This state sucks, and I'm saying this from Florida.
don't come here. Yeah, the NAACP. The NAACP is the guy who tells you it's a no-smoking section and then lights a cigar and walks away.
Well, I mean, if Florida is an unsafe state to be, I think the people that would appreciate that most are the people who live there, because they're probably getting a little tired of all the tourists that come to their state. So they're probably ones going out there going, yeah, don't come here. You'll never survive. My favorite was that Democrat member of Congress who said, I just came back from spring break with my family, and I will never go back there again. We had so much fun. But
she literally said the words, she goes, I just came back. It's becoming a terrorist state. I want nothing to do with that place. That's her exact quote. I want nothing to do with that place until my photos get developed. But once they're developed from the trip.
Yeah, I never want to go back there. And so the Vrbo that we booked for next year, remind me, I got to make my down payment on it so I don't miss out on it.
I never want to go back to that place. Does anyone want to buy a timeshare?
Timeshare exit, if you do need to sell one, by the way. So Jimmy Failla, of course, host of Fox Across America every day, 12 to 3 on Fox News Radio, and, of course, all over Fox News as well. Now, I had Chadwick Moore earlier on today on the show, and, of course, the last time we were together, the three of us, was on Kennedy when you filled in for Kennedy and hosted the show that night. It was a blast. He's got a new book coming out on Tucker Carlson, and I don't know if it's true. I don't know if you heard, but he got fired from Fox.
Yeah, well, I think I know Chadwick really well. I think it was a genius move by Chadwick to make his self-titled autobiography Tucker, because now it's going to sell like 50 million copies. You know, this was the autobiography of Chadwick Moore and his migration from Nashville to New York. Genius move. Like, believe me, when I put out my stand-up special on Fox Nation, you know what it's going to be called? It's going to be called Megan Fox Sex Tape. And we're going to get about 3 million views the first hour. They're going to be like, take it off already. Come on. An hour in.
It's all about the view count, am I right? Come on.
Yep. Genius move by Chadwick Moore. Tucker didn't cooperate with that book. Come on, man. I know better. Chadwick, he just hustled all of us.
Tucker's never even met him. Who are we kidding? Come on, please. So we got big plans for Memorial Day weekend. What's going on? What do you got?
Well, I have to stay sober till 8 p.m. because I'm on with Trey Gowdy tonight on Fox News in the 8 p.m. hour. And then after that,
Jimmy's on Fox News right now, by the way. That's the thing about Jimmy Failla. He's always on Fox News. He's literally on a show right now. He's on The Five right now, as a matter of fact. It's amazing.
Right now. I do everything. I'm trimming Geraldo's mustache as we speak. it's a whole thing. And then I have to hold the heavy bag for Hannity to do his taekwondo before his show tonight at 9. So, no,
does
I'm
Hannity,
everywhere. You,
does
I'm
Hannity
there.
Do taekwondo? He never talks about it.
I don't even know what taekwondo. It's some kind of karate. But, yes, I know. I know what you mean. But it's really funny. Because he will try out moves on me, like during commercial breaks. I'm like, dude, you just punched me in the throat. I'm like, what's going on? Too funny.
Well, he does that. He punches you in the throat because he wants you to stop talking. Because, you know, you interrupted him. And that doesn't go over well in that show. I'm just saying.
That's funny.
Are you hosting on Fox Nation another Memorial Day show?
No. I will be completely off the grid between now and Monday. To the public, I'm filming a documentary on Fox Nation about the time we faked the moon landing, and honestly, like, I was supposed to be making fun of the conspiracy, and my wife is from Neil Armstrong's hometown of Wapakoneta, Ohio, but the more I've talked about this, I'm actually going down a deep hole, man. It's not good. I don't know that we went, man. Not good, Violi.
I'm not telling good. You, the whole thing about the flag not blowing in the breeze or whatever that the whole thing is, that whatever the flag conspiracy is, that keeps me up at night.
Well, you know what it is? It's like if you stare really hard at the picture of Neil Armstrong holding up that flag, if you squint, you can actually see the In-N-Out Burger sign to the left of the soundstage in Burbank. It's not the flag. It's the Jack in the Box sign that you see over his right shoulder if you look hard enough. You're like, Cooper, couldn't you have hung up a thicker curtain? Come on, man.
How about the conspiracy theory that Stanley Kubrick's The Shining was his confession that he shot and faked the moon landing? Have you ever heard that?
Yeah. Yes, and the reason they say it's true, they say he did it, like the tell, is that there was Tang in the fridge. The kid's wearing an Apollo 11 t-shirt, but do you know what the true conspiracy theorists think is the indicator? That all the mayhem goes down in room 237, and it's 237,000 miles from Earth to the moon. So, did you know, Zioli, okay, if you put on Dark Side of the Moon backwards and watch The Shining, you're a loser.
You're a virgin is what you are,
yeah,
all right?
You're a virgin and a loser. But it's fascinating. But, yeah, I don't know that he made the confession. I think it would have been a little more forward-facing, but, you know, whatever. Listen, I like the good joint as much as the next guy in my youth.
But come on, I mean, if you are going to go down the road of conspiracy theories, the moon landing is the greatest one of all because it makes perfect sense. We shot it in a sound studio. The only thing I've never understood about a conspiracy is everybody loves to talk. So whoever the key grip guy was on that set, you know that guy's bragging at barbecues for the next 30 years.
Well, listen, knowing what the government's capable of, that guy got shot in the back of the head the minute he walked off the soundstage. I mean, if they really faked it, nobody's alive to talk about it. That's the problem. They're like, who is this new stagehand? They say her name is Hillary Clinton. She says she just needs to talk to me off the side of the stage. I don't know, Violi. I don't know who to believe.
Hey, Failla, speaking of Hillary Clinton, since you brought her up, she's blaming the Electoral College for her loss for the presidency. I believe this makes 75 different entities that she's blamed now for losing the presidency. Everybody but the voters of Michigan, Minnesota, Pennsylvania, and Ohio.
Yeah, no, she's all in. She will never stop running. Like, you know, right now, because you saw her, you know, floating theories about Biden's age, because in the back of her head, she wants to run again. Like, you know that. I know that. I'm telling you, in 20 years, Trump rallies are going to be chanting, help her up. You know, she's never going to stop. Never going to stop.
Now, have you had RFK Jr. on your show yet?
You know, no. You know, he was on last night before me on Ingram. He was in the block before me, so I watched the whole interview. And I'd love to see him get a debate with Biden. I'm not, you know, I don't know that it's ever going to happen. They're not letting Biden debate anybody at this point, you know. But I'd love to watch it because some of his ideas are legit good ideas. You know, but the Democrats are not going to expose Biden to anything like that. Like, to be clear, if Biden stays on the ticket for real, you know, because they're talking about the fact that he announced that he was running, but he hasn't campaigned yet. And the hot theory in Washington for real is that he doesn't want to commit to being a lame duck president just yet. So he essentially announced he was running via video, no campaign announcement, no events, just to buy himself more time. You know what I'm saying? On the Hill. But ultimately, he may not run. I mean, listen, the guy, what is he polling? He's like 32% right now. And did you see that CNN poll about 66% of the country said it would be like a step back for America if he ran again? Which I think is harsh. You know what I mean? Because serving a second term with a little more experience, Jill Biden might be a better president this time around. You know what I'm saying? She's still learning on the job. It's like everyone's so hard on her, but she might figure it out by her second term.
That's Dr. Jill Biden, you bastard. Please show her the respect she has not earned.
Good for you.
All right, buddy. Listen, have a great weekend. Enjoy it. Thanks for making the time today, and go back to doing Jello shots or whatever the hell you were doing before I called you.
It's ketamine, you dirtbag. I'll see you later. Bye, you
later,
guys.
Jimmy. See you, pal. Love you, Jimmy Failla. We love you, pal. Oh, yeah. Thanks, buddy.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, as we continue at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, our live show, we are here till 7 p.m., so come on by for a cocktail, come on by for a drink. We'd love to see you, and Hemingway's restaurant downstairs is open for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Well, just now for dinner, I guess, since, you know, if you're just waking up for breakfast now, you've had quite a night. You've had a really good night. Thank you for coming, everybody. Appreciate it. And this is the fun thing about it. You can leave. It's okay. Nobody's going to hold it. You got dinner plans? Get somewhere else to be?
Downstairs.
All right. Fair enough. I'll let you go. But thank you for coming. It's all right. Good to see you. Enjoy dinner. What are you getting for dinner tonight? Big steak. That's my man right there. Eat it before they make it illegal, all right? Because they may ban beef in this country. That's the next big plan. All right, we're going to continue here on the live show. We got Judge Jeanine Pirro in the 6 o'clock hour. We're also going to get into some of the excuses Hillary Clinton has used recently, and we got a lot more show ahead, so thanks for being here, and let's keep it going. Emmons Roofing and Siding, the great folks at Emmons would love to help you with your home. I'm talking about a new roof, windows, doors, and siding. For years, you've heard me talk about Emmons Roofing and Siding. They are the best in the business when it comes to roofing, siding, windows, and doors for your home or commercial property. Maybe you have a place at the shore. Well, winter weather is brutal on shore properties. So have Emmons check out your shore property. Emmons can also help you because they have a special offer for all of my listeners right now. 10% off plus 12 months same as cash financing on every project that they do. So if you're in the market for a new roof, roof repairs, siding, or Anderson windows, give Emmons a call today for a free estimate at 856-885-6677, 856-885-6677, or visit emmonsroofing.com and take advantage of their inflation relief discount and 12-month financing. Emmons is a company that I use and trust, and they should be your company too. That's emmonsroofing.com.
Rich Cioli, weekday afternoons 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.